You don't eat chips?
No, I just I just don't eat. I've never eaten chips when it's brought to my house by somebody else. Like, I'll go to the store and buy chips and buy them and eat them.
You have chips?
I can grab you some chips.
You need chips?
Some
chips. Wait. So lean back. Put the mic on. We'll talk. Put the mic on. The headphones.
Put the mic on?
Put the mic on. No, headphone. Yeah. I just need you to explain this to me.
I'm so excited.
I'm just more excited
than
you are.
Be here with you guys.
I'm more excited that you're here. Listen, bud.
Listen.
You come in here with a bag.
And you know what's funny? I tried to make it look like a gift bag instead of just bring a plastic bag like a homeless individual.
Yeah.
And this bag just fell apart. Just came apart completely. So it looks even more homeless.
Yeah.
Looks like kind of a crazy person who's like, I'm not going to let go of my good bag.
Yeah.
It's what I used to keep my other bags.
Well, that bag looks like it's from the 1980s. The one with the silver ball. Okay. What is that?
Do you guys like peanut butter?
Wait. It's TJ Miller peanut butter?
TJ Miller. T, PB&J peanut butter.
Oh, come on, dude. I'm a
what the fuck are you laughing
yeah,
at?
Yeah, Chinaman. Listen.
Jesus.
Hey, Chinaman,
Chinese.
Don't fucking
he's
laugh.
He's called a Chinese.
A Chinese.
He's not even Chinese.
He's one of the Chineses.
What? Let me ask you something. I'm a Jiffy guy.
No, this is way different. This is much better. It's a different thing. So this is dark chocolate and coconut.
But it's it is. Wow.
That
ladies
delicious.
Love that
coconut.
Stuff. And then I have
is there CBD in it or anything like that?
No, man. Does everything have angry. To be about weed?
God, what are you so angry about?
I mean, I put a little bit of flour in mine when I eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't work if you just put flour in
cherry
it.
Cherry chocolate.
Anyway, move on. That's another one? Let me see the packaging.
Honey roasted. Peanuts, real dried cherries, and
cherry
chocolate,
peanut butter. Holy moly.
And then my favorite.
Yeah.
Is Toffee Crispy.
Toffee,
Rice Krispies.
I love
Krispies.
Toffee.
Do you? That's my favorite. So this is Toffee, Rice Krispies, and milk chocolate.
Whoa.
So that's why I said spoons. I said you guys can try it.
Well, I have a finger.
And then chips. Don't brag, Bobby. Jesus.
I know. Oh, you're right.
And now
there are people born without fingers, and that's crazy that
exactly,
I would say something like that.
Exactly.
I didn't know.
Chinese people, some of them.
Well, Yakuza does some Yakuza don't have fingers.
That's exactly
right.
Right,
they get them chopped off,
it's
right?
Weird to and watch them eat.
If there was a Yakuza guy in
if
here.
If you watch them eat, they have to put the chopsticks in.
Right. But if
you just dig them in.
But if there was a Yakuza guy in here and I said that joke, he would be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, and he would do this, and I'd be like, oh, my bad.
Or this.
Oh,
if he lost all of them.
You think a guy is so into Yakuza?
Yeah.
Right? That he now has just nubs?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's fun. It's weird to watch them eat.
Right.
You and I were just talking about this.
Do they have a protocol for which finger they take out first?
I think it's a marriage.
It has to be.
It's not a thumb. How do you hitchhike?
Your most, I know.
How do Yakuza hitchhike without the thumb?
They never.
The first step is probably just like the ring finger or something like that. But if you get in trouble 10 times...
Oh, but I don't think it. Listen, teach.
And then I told her they put the chopsticks in the two little holes. And they try and scoop them together.
Teach, let me say
it's just weird to watch them.
But I know, but the Yakuza, I don't think that they get rid of the finger because of punishment. I think it's an initiation thing. So I think somebody that would lose ten fingers, would be a guy who left the organization and want to come back. Like, I quit.
Yeah. And then
6 months later, I want to come back. Another finger.
Really?
Yeah. Don't you think?
So he
did that 10 times, and
yeah,
now he's just got
these.
No.
Exactly.
Right.
And I don't want to be rude, but you're pronouncing it wrong.
What is it?
Yakuza.
Your cousin?
It's your cousin.
I didn't know.
Yakuza.
Yeah. But check this out. If you lose the 10 fingers, right?
Yeah.
But if you had Wolverine's ability.
You're good.
Yeah.
Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I also thought if you have a second set of arms, then you're fine. I mean, if we're living in a fantasy
world, it's Goro.
Or if you have no fingers, but you have a little guy that's on your back.
Right. Yeah, like that. Like those two characters from Mad Max. What's it called?
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
With that little guy?
It's like Quantar.
Quantar?
Quasar.
Quantar.
Quasar is something.
Yeah.
Ooh, what's going on over there?
Coffee delivery.
Yeah.
So what you're saying.
So what you're saying. is if that if I was a big Japanese dude, right, and I left the Yakuza 10 times, I lost 10 tinkas, right?
Yeah.
And then the little guy above me, that guy, right, he never left. So he still has his fingers.
He still has his fingers.
Right. Okay, so he does all the
but if you
the
leave,
taxes.
If you leave 10 more times, they're taking the tiny fingers. taking those tinies.
No, but in
those,
in that rule.
Taking the teenies.
10 tiny fingers is worth 3 regular fingers.
You think?
Yeah, yeah, because they're so small.
That's the math, yeah.
That's the math. That That's is the math. The math. The
yeah, if you're a dwarf Yakuza guy, right?
What's
do they take 3? They must take 3 fingers because it's not a full finger.
No, they can't because those dwarves, they give them a lot of leeway because they can,
oh, right.
Yeah, because they attack at a lower level and they need that.
Oh, that'd be fun to be attacked by
the knees.
Dwarf Yakuza.
Not when they come with those knees. They make the noises as
oh, they have swords. And they pull out like a kitchen knife.
Yeah. Oh. That's a broadsword.
Like a butter knife.
Yeah, it's a broadsword.
Yeah, yeah. It's still heavy.
I like how you can make fun of dwarves.
And it's okay.
He has that right, yeah.
Oh, why? Because I'm small?
What?
Is it because I'm small?
No, it's because you're incredibly empathetic.
Oh, that's true. Thank you.
People know that you're not, you know, really teasing them. You feel their pain, especially if they're getting their teeny tiny fingers cut off.
Right.
Did you ever wonder that?
What?
Like, were you ever like, am I going to get any taller than this?
Yeah, I'll... Yeah, I did.
Like recently?
Oh, that's funny, Teach. That's
well,
funny.
I thought it was.
Yeah, yeah, it is funny.
Okay.
Well, yeah, then. You know what? I'll be honest with you. When I was a kid, we went to an amusement park, our school, and I was scared that I wasn't be able to ride the rides and all my friends would be able to.
Oh, really?
I got on.
I thought you were going to hug him, but you're just really.
Yeah.
She said change your seat position. I thought you were going to hug him.
I think I did this.
Stick the wedgie.
You know the thing that at the amusement park, the little line? I think I did a little.
Yeah, I do a little bit of that.
Yeah, and I got on. But then I almost fell out of the thing because
that would have been really ironic if you just flew out of there.
Because I lied?
Yeah. And then all your friends were like, well, we never made fun of him, but he did die that day. Do you guys like hot sauce?
Oh, my God. You have hot sauce too?
Hot sauce.
I have hot sauce. Also, this is all on Amazon. Bring it up and see if it's on Amazon.
So this is the T.J. Miller. You're doing what? What's his man? What's the actor?
And I brought. I remembered that there were 3 people. Yeah. And so you'd both. Neither of you get anything. And also because you're a Chinese.
Yeah, Paul Newman.
But I got you one.
You're doing what Paul Newman did.
I want to be the Paul Newman of comedy.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah,
I want to do for hot sauce and peanut butter. You
have the skills, but you don't have the looks, maybe.
To do healthy stuff.
No, Paul Newman's very handsome.
I know, and I'm not. So I do unhealthy stuff, and he did healthy organic stuff.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
How much more do you want me to berate myself? Why don't you just take one of my tiny sausage fingers off? So yeah, that's why I was saying, do you have any chips? Because I thought we could try these, but I have Chipotle. Yeah. I have extreme gangster heat. Look at it, it's up there. That took forever.
That's amazing.
And then the really hot one for the pepperheads is fucking intense ghost pepper type shit.
Ooh, let's all do
that.
Let's all do that.
Yeah.
Can I ask you something about the process of making the peanut butter and the hot sauce?
So the hot sauce was really interesting. I went and I did a Mucinex. you want the other one? I went and I did a Mucinex. Recording, but I had to do it in the middle of Indiana because I was at my mother-in-law's house.
Mucinex, like the medication?
Yeah, so I used to be the booger, the talking Mucinex. Booger.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Good job.
Oh, well, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of boogers, man, you're the best.
Hey, thank you, Bobby. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, really,
I'm the Yakuza of peanut buzzer.
The Yakuza.
Yeah.
And so I went and I did a voice recording for that. There was like, they found me. Because with a VO, you can do it anywhere. So they found me an audio engineer in the middle of Indiana, in Zion, Indiana. And I went and I did the recording, and he was cracking up. He thought it was so fun. And afterwards, he said, do you like hot sauce? And I said, yeah. He goes, so I actually have a pepper farm, and I make hot sauce. So he showed me around the farm. It was really interesting. And he was the greatest guy. So we kind of kept in touch, and he would send me new hot sauces that he was working on. And then one day he said, would you ever want to collaborate on a hot sauce? And I was like, fuck yeah, that's amazing. I didn't even think of that. And so we went back and forth and we just worked out what the 3 flavors were that I thought, you know, people would enjoy and also what I like. Mm. And then I was making the hot sauce. I've been selling that. That's my merch. I've been selling that for a long time. And then one day I was like, you know, I would love to do peanut butter. And Dustin Chafin, who's this really funny comic who used to run clubs in New York, and he's a really, really funny guy. He's a great gift giver. You guys have a friend who's like so good at giving gifts, like better than you. Have you ever had a gift? Has anybody ever given you a gift?
Not good ones.
No.
What about Kalila's gift?
She's the only one.
She's the only one.
She's the only one. But
yeah,
everyone else,
gift giver.
Garbage.
Wow.
But thank you for your effort.
That's pretty weird to give someone a gift and have them be like, no, I've never received a good gift. No one is a good gift giver.
Of anyone in this room, he gets the most gifts from everybody.
Yeah.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Do I give good gifts?
You give expensive gifts?
That's good.
Like iPads. iPads are your thing.
Dude, I give iPads. That's the best gift.
And also,
unless you already have an iPad,
you also
then there's not, it's the worst gift.
No, it's not,
because you already have one.
What gift?
It doesn't matter.
Wait, but you're also, your Twitter got hacked, and there's someone that's hacking your Twitter, giving away iPads.
It's true.
But he's getting people's information and scamming them.
Is that true?
Why people believed that it was actually you giving away iPads, because
you
always
actually
give
away
iPads.
Oh fuck! Yeah. Oh no, it's a disaster. Are you fucking kidding me?
And then we find out that he was the one who hacked his Twitter.
Wow. Okay, so
you were never hacked. That is really you.
It's not. What?
Why aren't you using an iPad?
What is this?
Chips and spoons.
Yeah, but those chips are old.
No, they're good.
No, they've been out there. I've been.
These chips are good. I just had them.
I've been observing them for the last 6 months.
Gilbert will taste the chips. He'll let you know.
Well, you're going to put peanut butter on chips?
No, hot sauce.
Hot sauce. All right, my bad. I get angry.
He's like, fucking hot sauce.
I apologize. I get angry. All right. Can we do the intro first and then we'll go back to hot sauce or no?
Sure.
I mean, it's my show. Our show, I mean.
I know, so why are you asking me?
Okay.
He really, really just said his show.
It is his show.
No. I don't think so.
All right.
When I watch on my iPad, which I already have, I call it a have pad, my iPad.
Yeah.
I put a little piece of paper over the area of the screen where he is.
Thank you, TJ. That
tape
means a
it
lot
on there.
Me.
I used to put white out all over the screen where he was. Somebody called
you put
it racist.
White out on
I kept ruining the iPads.
Mm.
No one's ever given me a good gift.
Yeah. I don't even know where to buy white out. Staples?
Do people still use white out?
I don't even know what.
Aside from you? When you're watching Tiger Belly? Yeah.
No, it's
but
just
use,
me.
But use white out because you're using a pen and then you fuck up on the word, whatever word it is.
Yeah, exactly. But people don't use pens that much, so I think you're right.
Yeah.
There used to be that joke, how do you know a blonde's been using the computer? Because there's white out all over the screen.
Oh.
That's such a funny joke.
That's a great joke.
Blondes are so dumb.
Well, I know.
Anyway, let's bring it. Yeah, it's the countdown.
Five, four, three, two, and
welcome to another episode of Tiger Belly. I'm your co-host.
Captain.
The captain, but co-host. But I'm Jean-Luc Picard.
Main host.
Your second command.
Ooh.
First.
What?
Second.
Yeah, your first.
Third.
You're Zeus.
I'm Zeus. Thank you. And then we've got everyone in the room. We've got a bunch of age. And then we got white.
Did he call us age?
Bunch of age?
Yeah, I refuse to go complete in 2023.
True.
I will never say age in completion.
Yeah, don't be woke.
What?
That's woke.
I want to create a new thing.
I did a terrible thing recently.
What?
I was in the car and we had to take a U-turn. I was kind of feeling the 90s slang vibe. And so he said, oh, just go ahead and flip a bitch. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
I still use it. What are you talking
about?
Wait,
what does it even mean? I mean, I know it's a U-turn, but
yeah,
like, what's just says flipping a bitch?
It doesn't really mean it. But then the guy I was with said, you know, you can't say that anymore. I was like, it's right. It's 2023. So now I say, go ahead and flip a they.
Yeah, that's true.
Flip a they.
But do you know what flip a bitch is? It's when you're with a bitch.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right? And you're doing missionary and you go flip over.
Is that true, Gil? Can you look that up?
There's no way that's true.
Then I do it in the ass.
That's the best
thing I've
ever
heard.
But
that's really sweet that you would ask to, for her to flip over and you wouldn't flip her over yourself because you don't want to burn the calories. But here's what it means.
Yeah, yeah.
Flipping a bitch is making an
legal U-turn. Yeah.
What's the origin?
I just told you the origin.
Oftentimes resulting in your passengers freaking out or shitting their pants.
Yeah.
I love that freaking out is a hyperlink. Because people are just like, and so is U-turn. It's like, okay, here's flipping it. Flipping a bitch is making it illegal. What is that?
Yeah.
I guess I'll click on it later. Usually done in the middle of a street or double line, oftentimes resulting in your passengers freaking out. What does that mean?
Illegal is misspelled too.
And look at the demonstration of the.
It is.
When she
misspelled.
Flipped the bitch, I almost shit my pants.
Yeah, that's the.
I've never shit my pants after a U-turn.
I have after your U-turns. You go over islands.
Oh, that's true.
He does median hopping.
My bad.
Median hopping. It's just a pass.
Can I ask another question? Oh, let's do the beginning. I didn't even introduce people in the room.
Age.
We got a bunch of age in the room. We got white, right? And we got King White right here.
Ooh.
TJ Miller.
King
White? He's so good in the Deadpool movies. A bunch of other movies. He's a great stand-up, one of the best.
Thank you.
He's also a longtime friend of mine. He has a new special that he's coming out.
Called Dear Jonah. It's on YouTube right now. Right. And it is great.
And now he has
TPB&J.
The peanut butter and the hot sauce.
Yep.
Sauce.
Yeah. And give him a round of applause.
Woo!
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
And I also
my favorite podcast.
I also made fun of you that you didn't look as good as Paul Newman. You don't, but in terms of a comic, in terms of a stand-up, you're pretty good looking.
And I'm better than Paul Newman
in the stand-up world.
Stand-up, yes.
Oh, that's well. He was pretty good back in the day. He did some open mics.
Did he?
He did. Yeah. He used to kill with salad dressing material.
Yeah.
And it's always felt real with him. It was always organic.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And you get a lot of ass after the fucking shows.
Do you think so? Would he flip the bitch or just leave her? Or just leave her stay?
No, because he really was in love and he stayed with the same woman and he loved her and he would squeeze her ass even in the older
really?
Age.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, I love horny oldies.
But I love oldies. You love horny oldies?
One more time.
I love the horny oldies.
I would love to be a really like just vulgar, horny grandma and terrorize my grandkids with like sex stories and things like that. That's my goal.
That's interesting. And then
you'll be able to do that.
Yeah.
What if one of your grandkids get a Woody?
Ew, Bobby. That was not a real
dream. No, I mean, he just goes, bloop. Right?
That sounds
That's
good.
Going straight upward.
Well, with little kids.
Just pointing at yourself.
Well, wait, does yours go all the way up like that?
What, to the sky?
Yeah.
Touch your belly.
It's not a hovercraft or anything. No, it just...
It's the worst when you ejaculate because it goes into your eyes.
Yeah.
Easy. But
can I ask you something? From being small to hard, how long do you think that takes you? If you're super...
Zero to 60.
If you're super...
22 minutes.
Slow build, baby.
Yeah,
that's a slow build.
Well, what'll happen is Kate will kind of leave the room and
write
emails and stuff,
and she'll come back
in a load of laundry. She'll come
it's
back.
It's not ready.
Yeah, and I
do you yell it.
Yeah, I say you gotta
come back.
Yeah, go to shake and walk around the block.
Does it sometimes not go complete?
And just
I've stuck it in mid.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, you kind of jam the rest of it in there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've ever done that where you jam
kind of putting an al dente noodle into a coffee cup.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what it's like.
I've done that. Yeah.
Yeah. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
When you're at your best, you can do great things, but sometimes life gets you bogged down and you may feel overwhelmed or like you're not showing up in the way you want to. And you know what, guys? You know, during the pandemic and even now, I do therapy through BetterHelp. It really works. Okay, guys? If you think about giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, flexible, affordable, and entirely online.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
You know, because when you feel empowered, guys, you're more prepared to take on everything life throws at you. And it's like just, you know, we're all human beings and we carry around all this weight. Mm-hmm. Sometimes some of us carry around trauma and you just... you know, you need to talk to somebody, and this is the best way to do it.
And working with a therapist can help you get closer to that best version of you.
If you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/belly today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/belly. Once again, that's BetterHelp.com/belly.
Yeah. So it's 22 minutes.
Because
huh?
Yeah.
Mine goes, I think I counted 45 seconds.
Wow.
You counted for reals?
Yeah. And I think the counting fucked up the hard because when you're counting and also trying to get horny, it kind of messes with the vibe.
Yeah.
You go just one, two.
Oh, it's out loud?
Yeah, it's going down. Five. Yeah.
See, I think numbers are so.
Well, you think
hot.
I have a stopwatch?
Or I thought you're counting
usually
in your head.
Goes faster. Oh. When I'm counting, it goes faster because I think numbers are so hot.
You, really?
You know what I like about this podcast? You get to do jokes twice.
All right. Oh, yeah.
You do one once, and everybody laughs, but Bobby's still talking. And then you just wait. You don't interrupt him.
Yeah.
You just wait. And then when he's calmed down, then you get to do the joke a second time. And he enjoys it. Everybody's like, we've heard that, but we all enjoy watching Bobby laugh.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of enjoyment and a lot of happiness.
It's a lot of joy. I love joy and I love having fun.
I love your stickers.
Thank you. Can I ask you a question? You audition for the Mucinex or did you?
Mucinex?
That's how they pronounce it in France. That's correct.
Mucinex.
Sure.
What's the? Sure. What was the booger? What's going on? You all right?
No,
Are you offended?
Same, I'm getting the forward position.
No, what I'm saying is that for...
I'm seeing Bobby stays on the edge of his seat.
To do the voiceover for the Mucinex, the little booger guy, right?
Yes.
Was your competition, did you have to audition, or did they just do offer only?
They offered it to me.
But how do you know that you're the best at the booger voice?
I swear to God, when I went in there and talking to him, and they were laughing and everything, and I was like, did you guys choose me because I always sound sick? And they started laughing really hard,
yeah.
And I said, yeah, actually.
Yeah.
They didn't think that I would guess that. That's what it is. My voice is incredibly recognizable. It's probably more famous than I am. And then I do kind of sound like I'm getting over a cold all the time.
Oh,
I sound like a drag queen after chain smoking and a hard night of tearing it up at the club.
Yeah. That's good. So no, you just got offer only.
Yeah. So they came. Yeah. And so they did that. It was great. I mean, it's a great job because I got to do a lot of the jokes. Yeah. I would totally improvise all the time. It was really fun. Now they don't use the voice really because I think they hired someone else and he did badly and so then
they got really because I haven't seen that character in a while.
Yeah.
Do you have
kind of died with me?
What
do you have VO aspirations?
I would love to be a booger. I'd like to be booger. I'd like to be.
You have a great voice.
He does.
You do really?
You can do it.
I think
yeah.
It's the sexiest thing.
So when your voice,
dude, that's a weird compliment.
When I first talked to him on the phone, I was like, oh, this he sounds so attractive.
Thank you. And then you meet me and you're like,
and then what happened?
No, and it really it adds to the whole package.
Oh my gosh. Oh my God, just gave on. You up and down 45 seconds.
Yeah, one,
TJ's
two.
Still going.
Three.
TJ's
four.
Still going.
Yeah, I'm still going.
Well, like
I started before I came in. I was like, oh my God, I'm so horny for this show. I'm such a horny oldie.
Another callback.
And then I started going up and
dude,
who knew?
Callback City.
Yeah, that's all I
do. I love it.
Callback
City. Wait, every joke that I've made so far in my life, they're all callbacks.
How about this?
I made all of these jokes when I was in like sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade over the course of 3 years. Then every joke that I make is a callback to one of those jokes.
Here's a new challenge.
It's incredibly complicated.
Here's a new challenge.
Okay.
From now on, we can't do new jokes. Every joke that we do from now on is a callback.
Sounds terrible. Try it.
Let's give it a shot. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I have, well, it's not a callback, but I do have information about horny oldies.
Uh-huh.
And that they have like a really big problem with STDs in the geriatric population because I think that they're just like all raw dogging each other.
Whoa. Well, also, they don't give a shit. At that point, you're not like, I'm going to hold out for the perfect lady. They're just like, what's happening over there? Is that open?
Yeah.
That room open?
Is that open? That thing? Because I'm going in.
Yeah.
Al dente.
Al dente.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yes. Callback City. God.
That's great. Al dente.
And Al dente.
Al dente, dude. I love it.
I feel like you know how to pronounce everything. It's just you don't feel like it's that important.
Oh, no.
It the just reason... doesn't matter because everybody knows.
No,
what
but
you're
the
saying.
Reason why I do is because I flip a bitch. All the time with your mind, you know.
So it's okay if the callback. It's okay if the callback doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
no, that's what it doesn't have to make sense. You know, like, it doesn't it's make like, that the same it's, sense. Like a,
it's like
a
my peanut butter.
A Yakuza finger.
Yeah.
You just repeated
it? Yakuza. Yeah, that's Yakuza.
I just repeated the things we said before.
It doesn't make sense. It's like my peanut butter. It doesn't make any sense. Her.
All right, stop. We don't do it. It's done. It's done.
It's tough.
That part, it was tough. It was
titty punch me.
What? I did? Sorry, my bad. My bad for
just
the
a really quick callback. This is your what you put on your Twitter.
Dude, I can't get my fucking Twitter back.
So oh, is it still hacked?
I can't get it back. It's been 3 months now. I've completely let it go.
You just let it go.
I've hired companies. No one can get it back. I don't know what to do.
Can you tell fans to stop buying? Because people
can't. Yeah, stop buying that. And also, I texted Lex Friedman. I texted. And he goes, buddy, I don't know Elon that well. Or something, right? And I go.
The Russian accent.
And I go, well, you're the only one that I know that knows him directly.
Yeah. Wait, what about Joe?
Rogan. I could do Rogan. I'm afraid, though. I don't want to, because the Lex Friedman thing hurt me.
Yeah.
Because I thought I had connections. I go, check this out. And he wouldn't help me.
Check this out.
And so I'm like, oh, if he can't help me, then no one can. So I just let
him. I didn't even think of that because they fired a bunch of people, right? So there's all these people that had connections to Twitter that could deal with the blue checks and hacks and stuff. And those people are all gone.
They're gone. Killed. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know who to call. I don't know what to do.
I can't believe he killed them. I thought that was a leak. I mean, I guess.
Wait.
In certain circumstances.
Wait. You think Elon?
In certain people. I don't think so. Killed? I know so. Well, and no one will believe me because I was the only one watching as he killed each of them using a ray.
Yeah. But there's a new.
Do you know what I mean? A ray.
What, he used a satellite ray?
I mean, I don't know where the fuck it came from. At first, I thought it was coming from his eyes. Well, I was like, that makes sense. But then he walked away and the ray kept going. It was a fucked up afternoon.
Oh, it was a guy named Ray.
Yeah.
He sent a guy named
Ray. Oh, that was a guy named Ray. Oh, because, yeah.
He sent this guy out of his eyes.
I didn't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he has that kind of shit, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, somebody told me yesterday that.
Oh, see, that was a callback. That Ray thing. Because I used to make fun of this guy, Ray, and there's another kid named Elon in sixth grade. So I was just calling back to that. Isn't that great? Isn't that the best thing you ever heard?
Yeah, I don't even remember.
You don't remember? Well, you were in sixth grade with me.
Oh, that's right. That's why it wouldn't like.
That's the main reason.
That's the main reason.
The main reason he wouldn't remember.
I'm so sorry.
There are a couple of. But
I went back. I went back in my mind, and I couldn't recall.
You drew
a
blank.
And we lived in a completely different area.
We did.
Yeah, in a different era. My bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we can always.
What?
Get together and study that.
Yeah, can I ask you this, though? Because this is something I wanted to ask 5 minutes ago before the callback stuff.
Okay.
Is that based on my voice, what character could you think I could? Because the Boger, they're like T.J. Miller, so what would I be with my voice?
Oh, I have one.
Go ahead.
It's part of my billion-dollar idea that I don't want to give away.
Well, then don't even bring it up.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, why
I had
you
one
bring
also,
that up?
But it's part of my million-dollar idea, and I don't want to give that away.
Yeah.
Does anyone have an idea from like $1,000?
$1,000 Bobby Lee project.
Yeah. I think you could be the announcer for Gilbert.
What would I?
Hip hop.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, say that one more time.
What'd you say?
No, I'm not going to.
Star of hip hop.
I'll call back to it.
Call back to it right now.
Star of hip hop. You said.
No, the star of hip hop. I think you got the kind of voice where you could be the star of hip hop.
Thank you.
Sounds like something a guy would say to an impressionable person in Los Angeles to try and have sex with them, like pick up the girl. The guy is like, you know what? You've got a great voice. I think you could be the star of hip hop. Oh my God, are you serious?
Really?
Of the whole hip hop? All hip hop? Oh yeah. Come with me. I'll take you to a diner. We'll talk it out.
I got it.
Well, what is it?
Be the voice of his peanut butter brand.
As peanut butter?
You're going to play a peanut.
No. As my,
I'm going to play a peanut.
Exactly. Read the back of the peanut butter.
I'm going to come up with a voice.
No English? Just.
No. Because I'm trying to embody a peanut.
And if that doesn't work, you can be a ghost pepper for the hot sauce.
Ooh.
What is happening?
No, because I'm trying to find the voice.
I know. It's just so confusing.
Try go lower. Good.
Like, that's perfect.
And try snooty French guy with that voice.
Bonjour. I can't do that.
Bonjour.
I'm just gonna come up. Hey, everybody. I'm cherry chocolate peanut butter.
Wait, what?
So you're trying to do what? Chef from South Park.
You're playing a black guy. You're doing Eric Griffin. Right now.
Hey, yeah, man. Woo, 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 woo. Check out my podcast, Riffin with Griffin. Riffin with Griffin. Hey, I'm a peanut. And when you grind me down, make me into peanut butter, and you mix some cherry chocolate. God darn it. I'm TBNJ peanut butter, baby. What's up?
You can also read the back of the letter.
What? There's a letter?
I'm not sure.
There's a letter.
Oh, hey.
I would hire him to just explain
peanut butter. That was both everything you needed all at once.
Ooh.
The peanut butter.
I'm listening.
It had real fruit, cherries, and the PB&J. Anyway, woohoo!
Any notes, TJ?
Yeah, don't do that again.
What?
Just don't.
I'm fired?
No, you never were hired.
Oh, really?
That was like the audition.
Oh, yeah.
It
was bad.
So weird.
I took the choice. It
wasn't bad. It was weird.
I know.
At one point, the animated peanut was describing how you make peanut butter using
him. I'll take peanuts, I'll crush it.
No, you go.
Grind me down.
You crush me and you grind me down. And you mix me up with cherry.
I don't know the process of eating peanut butter. That's why I made it up.
Oh.
Do not crush it.
Do you eat peanut butter? You do. Right?
I love peanut butter.
You should try some of that.
I will. I fucking will. But you know what? I don't want like people telling me to do it right now. I'll do it on my own time.
I understand that.
I'll do it.
I want to apologize.
I'll do it now.
Here's a spoon.
There's another peanut
butter. I'd rather you didn't.
No, I'll use my...
Wait, which one? What flavor
careful.
Is that one?
You should use this. Oh, yeah. Use the finger that the Yakuza still left here.
Because I'm not a part of it.
What, can you give us a smell test?
You know what? Peanut butter.
Yeah.
That's what it smells like.
It feels like sausage.
Yes, I'm doing something right.
Right. Because if it smelled like caviar.
You know why it smells like that?
Why?
Because the peanut, take yourself and grind it down. And make a peanut out of itself.
Okay. You know, I'm going to let that go.
Are you?
Whenever you did that, yeah, because you're shaming me.
But no, I was just doing a version of what you did.
Yeah. So I'm going to, what is this little black chunk in here?
So that's milk chocolate.
Ooh.
So it has milk chocolate, real dried cherries, and honey roasted peanuts.
All in this little nugget?
No, Bobby, no. Not at all.
That's fucking great.
It's amazing because
so
it's not true.
So you put cherries and peanut and everything in this.
All of it goes in there, but it doesn't.
But it's not in this.
It is not.
Okay.
He just ate a chocolate chip.
Okay.
Now taste the peanut Bobby, butter.
Eat Bobby, the peanut butter.
Bobby, you could have just eaten chocolate.
That was cherry.
That was a cherry.
That was a cherry. Wow.
See if you can dig around and find a little chocolate in there.
All right.
Yeah.
Those are the red ones.
Deconstruct it.
What's this?
That's a cherry.
Best product.
This is going so poorly.
No, it's great. Right. Dude, it's so good. You know what I like about it?
You should try an actual.
It's extra chunky.
It is. It's chunky peanut butter.
Oh, it's really chunky. Right here.
Get a good spoonful.
Right.
The spoon was there the whole time.
I want to use my fucking finger.
I will say this is delicious. You would think it would burn your mouth, but there's flavor.
Because it's not a gimmick. And here's the thing. Ghost pepper, it's always just used to be hot.
Sweet.
And ghost pepper is a really good pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see ghost pepper?
What do you think?
I'm not a peanut butter girl. And this is delicious.
It's great, right? And you'll eat it right out of there. And the dark chocolate coconut is great, too. That's dark chocolate. And then
can
toffee. You said you like toffee. Hold on. We're in the middle of something. But I did like your ghost joke. Can you even see the pepper?
No, because I really thought about it. Like, this was so when a pepper dies.
It becomes a ghost pepper.
How do you capture it?
That's really
how
funny.
Do you capture it?
That is funny. Ghost pepper.
I mean, that's
a
different level of
dead.
Fucking science there, dude.
What do you call a dead
pepper?
We can't
do
a ghost pepper. That would be on those Christmas crackers.
Yeah. But
yes,
but
those?
Yeah, but why do they call it that?
A ghost pepper?
Yeah.
It's a dead pepper, man. You found it out.
Right.
Because it's just so the dead hot, peps. It kills people, turns them into ghosts.
Mm.
Probably.
I don't know why, but it's really good, right?
It's very good. And the Chipotle one's great, too. Better than the Tabasco Chipotle.
What's that one?
Yeah, I don't like that
one.
Same one
I open?
And Extreme Gangster Heat is better than Tabasco
sauce.
Chocolate
coconut.
It's not as bitter. What do you think of that one, right?
So good.
This is what I'm saying. And so people are kind of like, oh, he got his own peanut butter or something. And it's the best peanut butter of all the peanut butter. And I really think that Insane Ghost Pepper, that's one of the best.
Good.
Yeah.
This is good.
All three of the hot sauces are great.
Get on hot one.
Look at you. taking a full bite. Look at you.
That's a good peanut butter, dude.
It's amazing.
So good.
It's fucking amazing.
Really chunky.
And it's on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
That's really chunky.
It's great.
It's like
right?
more granola.
And you'll like the hot sauce, I think, also.
Really?
Yeah, the toffee is the best, in my opinion. Mm. But I think you'll like it because you like hot sauce, right?
Of course I do.
Yeah, so I think you'll like it.
Try.
Do you go hot, hot?
I'm going to pass on that right now.
Okay.
Okay, but I will. I promise. No, I'm going to, because I love getting tacos, and I'm going to use that.
Thank you for these. These are delicious.
Thank you so much, dude.
They're great, right? And so I brought some give me, for give you also.
Hmm? Give me a package.
I brought three give different one ones for you.
I see two right here.
No, they're all over here.
Okay.
So everybody.
Well, not everybody.
Toffee Crispy.
That's jerk. That's really good.
Thanks, man.
I think you could play sort of a shitty executive in an animated show.
Okay.
Kind of a young tech executive.
Yeah. Well, give me a line. Maybe I can try.
I want everybody out of my
room. I want everybody out of the room.
Hold on. I want everybody out of the room so I can count as to how long it takes for me to be fully hard.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
Too many lines. Too many lines.
It was way too many. I couldn't remember it.
Yeah.
I like to count how long until my dick's up.
Try that. I like to count as to how many my dick's
up. What?
I think, you know what I realized? I realized that I was talking about your actual voice.
Yeah.
But you're kind of asking us what will work for you. We're just trying to talk about this. If that's the case,
yeah,
it's that's Jeff what it from South Park.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it then. So, if, you know,
how often are you touring right now?
None.
No touring.
You're about to go.
For the last 3 years, I haven't toured one time.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, no. You've had a couple nights here and there, like the Irvine Improv and stuff.
Yeah, but they were like
friend shows.
Friend one-offs. Show. Yeah, one-offs. You do that friend shit on there.
But I'm gonna do a tour with Andrew starting in March, and we're doing like almost 30 cities.
Whoa!
And we're doing a theater run. So that's the first time I'm gonna be out. But
that's fine.
I haven't been out. I mean, I know you tour a lot.
Yeah. Tour all the time.
Do you like it or no?
Yeah, I love it. It's amazing.
But do you prefer that over just the Hollywood shit or no?
Yes, absolutely. But I think it's a thing of like, you know, it's fun to do both. Like I'm working on a Christmas movie right now.
Oh, cool.
And that's really fun because I'm writing it with my buddy and it's like a vehicle for me. It was so funny when I pitched it, we pitched it to the Russo brothers and to Michael Bay. And at the end of the pitch, I was so excited about this. I said, and if you're concerned about me starring in a Christmas movie as Santa Claus, okay, then look no further on my resume to when I starred in a Christmas movie as Santa Claus, because I've already done a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
So I'm like the only person except for Tim Allen that can be like, let me show you something.
Right. So you already have footage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I could play Elf.
You really could. The elves aren't too prominent in this particular film, but that might be better because then there's less of you.
Yeah, but are they going to be in it?
What?
Are they going to have shots with them?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so I don't want lines.
Oh, okay.
I could be like,
you just want to be an elf?
Yeah, I don't have to be principal.
I love that.
I mean, I could be like a background. It'd be fun.
Background.
It'd be really fun. Imagine like a wide shot, a bunch of elves, and you just see me like from far away just.
Working on something.
Just tinkering.
Yeah.
You could play one of the elves. One of the elves' name is Tinker Toy. And all he does is run around and try and gnaw on things.
Ooh. Are you being real?
Because he's a feral elf. Yeah.
Oh, can I try right now? He's a feral elf?
Yeah.
He is. No.
That's it.
Gnaw on this.
Yeah, go for it. Go get her arm. Get her, Tinker Toy. Get it.
Hey, I'm Tinker Toy.
No.
You gotta grind me?
He's lost the job.
Yeah. What? I can only do one voice.
That's it.
I'm Tinker Toy.
It's amazing you can only do one voice because you're using your regular voice. But whenever you have to do voiceover, immediately come on.
I used to work for Joel and Anthony Russo.
Oh, really?
They're good guys, yeah.
What did you.
I was on a sitcom that they did once.
What was it?
Animal Practice.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. And then I love those guys.
They're great. They cast me in my first, they cast me in my first show. It's called Carpoolers. That was the first thing I ever did.
Yeah. Because they were first TV people, Community, showrunners.
Arrested Development.
And now they're like the biggest Hollywood
directors.
They are,
and they started a studio, $1 billion studio called Agbo.
Really?
It's pretty crazy.
That's amazing for those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, great guys. And I just remember, like, when I was doing animal practice, I almost died, and they were really concerned for my health.
Was it because the snake wrapped around
you? The snake wrapped around my neck, yeah.
Jesus. Are you serious?
Yeah.
What did they do? They were about to cut the snake off?
What?
What were they going to do?
You think that if the snake was a boa constrictor around it, they're going to slice it in half?
Yeah.
No.
They were to just save your life?
No, they're just like, they're like, you okay? And I was like, I couldn't talk.
See, now that's a great voice.
For Tinker Toy?
Yeah. Yeah, a feral elf.
No, you know what I am?
Ghost Pepper.
Dude, I loved it.
Ghost Pepper, dude. That was dead on, right?
It was dead
ghost
on.
Pepper?
Dead on.
Ooh. Oh my God, it's a ghost.
Pepper.
yeah.
No?
Not good? All right,
I like
it
better as Feral Elf. Tinker Toy with,
oh, thank you, thank
with
you.
A demonic voice is good.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. So, Teach.
So I think between, that's really fun to do.
Yeah.
And then I think the touring, it's. I mean, you've toured for a long time, but it's interesting to me. I guess it's fun to not tour because I took December off. And also during the pandemic, I had a great time with Kate. But then when I was able to go back to touring, I just love it so much. It's so great. It's never not interesting to me. But also, and I think you do some of this, but also I improvise so much. So sometimes I'll go on stage and I'll only do like a couple of jokes. And the rest of the time I'm doing crowd work or I'm talking about the city that I'm in or something that happened to me that day.
Wow.
And so because of that, I'm never kind of bored with my material. And now I'm shooting another special in March at the San Diego, the American Comedy Company. Mm. Everybody come check me out. And it's really... it's kind of hard for me to get up and do the same material every show, which is what I have to do to prepare for a special.
Sure.
But I shot Dear Jonah, which is now on YouTube. Mm. And then I shot another completely different special 3 weeks later in Tampa.
Wow.
Called The Philosophy Circus. Because a fair amount of it is circus stuff. And then this will be the third special that I shoot. I was just sitting on all this material during the pandemic and before, I was like, I just need to shoot these things. And I found a great director who works for the Russo brothers. And I was able to shoot them really, really inexpensively.
And where are they being released?
YouTube.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
that's the best way.
I don't think you should put them on any place except for YouTube from now on.
Because you still make money from the YouTube numbers, right?
Yeah, but it's also you just want people to see it. And they don't pay you anything for a Netflix special or anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They rather not pay you. It's not like when I did an HBO special where they just had so much money and they were doing so few specials.
Yeah.
Netflix came and kind of said, oh, well, we can do 100 specials.
Right.
Yeah.
That's kind of what they've done.
Yeah.
And so I much prefer this on YouTube. Yes, you also get money, but it's also just, and my thing was, and this is really important, is a lot of people in America don't know that I do stand up. Mm. So a lot of people come to my shows, less now. Now more people know that I've started as a stand-up comic and I'm a comic.
It's so weird to think that because I've only known you as a stand-up over the years. Isn't that crazy?
Well, and what's weird too is that I've known you as a stand-up, but you're great in all the acting stuff that you do. So I know you as both of those things, but lots of people just think, oh, Bobby Lee,
yeah,
stand-up comic,
yeah.
Or they know you from Animal Practice.
Well, some people now only know me as a podcaster. I get like, oh, you're a podcaster, you know what I mean?
No, absolutely. Tiger Belly is one of the big, and when people say to me, like, when are you going to be on these podcasts? You're one of the ones, you and Segura and all, you know. And so, yeah, this is a huge, huge show. Thank you so much for having me on.
Anytime. Your old life, we've been through some experiences together. I love you a lot, man.
We were in the Yakuza together.
Call back.
Wait.
Look at me in the eyes and tell me we were in the Yakuza.
Yes, we were. Yes, we were in the Yakuza together.
I love your nails, and I want Bobby to have a look at them. You see how he has the tips, just the tips colored?
Yeah.
Christmas.
That's how you should get them done. Because we get our nails done together. But he always.
I haven't gotten mine done. In a
what
while,
do you do? You put colors on them.
He just puts colors on them.
Colors.
But I think the tips.
No,
are
it
better.
Looks so. That looks so '90s indie band. You should do French tip, and then I get the white usually, and it's really cool because people don't know that you have a manicure unless they look closely.
So you do a French tip.
French tip.
I just don't like the conversation started. You know what I mean? Even when I get them a different color, there's always like, oh, so you get your nails done?
That's why the French tip is great, because nobody knows until they like have looked at your nails a lot. And this is the first time I did this for Christmas, because I'm writing the Christmas movie. So I got it done, and then I was like, I'm going to keep him on for a little while to stay in the Christmas spirit because we're finishing the script on, like, Wednesday.
So what happens when you're both fingerless yakuzas and you want your nails done?
We paint our dicks.
French
yeah,
tip?
A French tip. My yeah, I would probably do that.
Hey, just the tip.
Just the tip. Let me stick the tip in.
Just the tip?
Yeah.
That's a weird thing with your finger to ask.
Yeah.
When your finger grow, you're just like, just the tip.
You think
just
any
the French
you know
tip.
Any if you think any guy that says I'm just gonna stick the tip in only stuck it in, or do you think
this is why I've always allowed guys to
it's a trick.
Just do the tip.
Yeah.
And I hold them to it because all of my sensory, my nerve, the feelings, the good sensation is in the beginning part of the vagina. Mm. I don't feel shit when it's way up there.
Why not?
There's just nothing there. It's just the thing. It's just the back of me. Yeah, it's no man's land.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just the back of me.
It's just the back of me.
It's the front of my back. That really is. The furthest back in the vaginal cavity is the front of my back. Yeah, we got it, guys. We did it. Now that's a podcast.
But are even like soaking?
What's a soaky?
Soaking is when you just stick it in, but you just keep it in there. It's very like Mormon, and it's
oh,
like
docking, right?
It's
soaking.
No,
docking.
But
docking is when you put your penis against another penis.
Oh, my bad.
And then you no, it's our bad. That we
yeah, yeah.
It's the two foreskins go over each other.
He would know.
I would know.
About
I used to dock my own finger when I was younger.
Wait, how does that work? So the two foreskins. Is it like, oh, I know, it's like an Avatar where you, when they connect with
the Na'vi. It's the Na'vi.
With the leaves and the other animals,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
That little thing that they have, is that what docking is?
Yeah.
Wow, but you do with penis.
I will do with my
Can penis. You exchange information like an Avatar?
Your eyes roll back, yes.
Okay, good. That's cool. What a gift. No, what a talent.
What a gift.
I mean, if you could dock with somebody, like, you know, the Vulcans in Star Trek, they can mind meld.
Yeah.
Right? So it's basically, if you dock with another man, that
you see
weren't circumcised, you can live their past?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh. That's amazing.
That's amazing.
That's cool.
You can go all the way back to them not getting circumcised.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's interesting. But let me ask you, when you dock, and this is a valid question, and if you come, is that gay?
No, that's actually how you make the foreskin stick.
Oh, that's the adhesive.
It's adhesive, yeah.
And I didn't know.
To walk around with that.
Right, it's an
it
adhesive.
Degrades, yeah.
And it's gonna fall off.
It's like the refried beans and the tacos and stuff when they make
in the double decker taco.
Yeah, the double decker taco. They use the refried beans as an adhesive, it's but adhesive. They use cum when you dock.
You dock, yeah.
Wow, the science.
Yeah.
So that's not gay. But if you're erect, is it gay?
You need to be erect.
Yeah.
Oh, so when you dock, you have to be erect.
It's almost gay if you're not erect.
Oh, that's true.
Unless you do a soak dock.
What's a soak dock?
Yeah,
that's
soak,
when you soak your dick in the dock.
Okay.
Dickory soak dock cock.
Yeah.
Isn't that just a sock?
Sock.
Yeah, sock. That's when you stick your dick in a sock.
Oh.
Oh.
I love it. Right. I love whatever he goes. Yeah,
he doesn't really know. He just does that to move on.
No,
does he do that? Is that one of your catchphrases on the show, Connor?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty
right?
cool. Catchphrase.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Can you dock in a butthole?
That's just fucking an ass.
Yeah.
No, can you soak in a butthole?
You can soak. All soaking is that you have to resist the urge to pump. So you're just putting it in and then not moving.
Yeah. Clouds okay.
If
Mormon
I
thing.
If I soak in another man's butthole,
it's my
and I don't pump. Is that gay?
It's no, because
it's not gay.
And you know what?
You're
it's
resting.
Not even sex.
I'm resting.
You're
that's
resting.
Right.
A long journey.
To, like,
hibernating like a bear.
Oh yeah.
It's true. It's not gay. You're just taking a rest inside of an
asshole. It's
that would be a great. That would be a good pickup line. Excuse me, buddy. Can I rest in your ass?
Yeah, rest. Yeah.
I'm
it's
not
winter.
Gay.
It's
not
winter. It's winter. Right.
Hey, winter is coming.
Winter is coming.
Can I hibernate in your ass?
Yeah, hibernate. And if you did it for 6 months, then it would be probably true.
Yeah.
But that would be weird to walk around. Anyway,
So anyway, yeah, so I like doing stand-up probably more than...
You do. And you're never going to come back to L.A.?
I know. I definitely won't ever live in Los Angeles. But I have an apartment here that's just amazing. You guys should come over for dinner sometime.
Really, you do?
We have this incredible view. It's right behind the Hollywood Bowl. And you take an elevator up... An outdoor elevator.
Wow.
It's amazing. It goes four stories up. It's a private keyed elevator.
And you bought that place?
No, we only rent it.
You're renting it?
Yeah.
So you have no properties in LA that you own?
No.
Okay.
No, and I just hate it here. Like, I like it when this is happening. And I actually kind of like it now that I don't live here, because I don't have to sort of deal with it every day.
Yeah.
But when I lived here, I just absolutely hated it. And a big part of that is the stand-up. You can't do any stand-up. And even I'm past all the places where one could do stand-up. And it's just in New York City on a Wednesday or something, I'll do 5 shows. You know, you just can't do that here. My record is 8 in New York.
Wow.
8 shows in one night.
But oh, my God.
And that's low. You can do 10, 12.
But when I was in New York a couple of months ago, I did 5 shows in 2 nights, which is a lot.
That's a lot.
And I went, why? 1 or 2, maybe. You can do 2 a night here in L.A. But yeah. More than 2, it's just like, why would you want to?
Because you want to get good.
Yeah. That's true.
That's the end of that.
Oh, you're practicing.
Yeah,
you want to practice.
Well, it's like
I think it's an addiction more though.
It's definitely an addiction. My buddy Cash Levy and I, we have a podcast called Cashing In with TJ Miller.
Yeah,
Cash Levy's super funny.
Edit that part out.
Yeah, thank absolutely. You. And this is a great show. Can you edit this out? I love Tiger Belly. Get rid of that. And so, you know, yeah, so Cashing In with TJ Miller, yeah. And he's it's his show and he has trouble getting guests. So I'm the only guest that he's had in 7 years. And it's really, really a lot of fun. But we were talking about stand-up, and he said, and I love this, I quote, he said, it's definitely a drug. It's an addiction. It's a drug, but it's healthy for us, and it's healthy for them.
Okay.
And so I think that's really interesting, because people who come and see it, it's a drug for them during that time. And then for us, it's also a drug.
I would like to be a great comic,
and you're already a great comic. So you don't,
I don't
really
need to hear
do
that.
It.
I don't need to hear
but
that.
No one else tells you that, because it's not true. So listen to me when I say it. Listen to me when I say it.
I love it.
But I
think
like
it's healthy for the audience, but
comic.
I don't think it's healthy for the comic.
Why?
Because in any addiction, you're doing it so that you're not like in the moment and really feeling what you're feeling. You know what I mean? It's all an escape.
Maybe. But a lot of times I'm improvising and there's nothing more.
But I know, but you get excited. When you improvise and you get a laugh or something you just came up with, right? The audience laugh, it's a dopamine hit.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm just saying, you just get addicted to that feeling, right? And you're not really feeling what you're, you know.
But he has a good point, because he doesn't have a lot of, I mean, he goes in doing crowd work, so you couldn't be more in the moment.
Thank you.
Then you have to be so present to be able to do that night after night.
Well, I think also here's the other thing.
I hate you.
Here's the other thing. It's like you.
I hate you for
you'd
that.
Like to do 10.
Because you're right.
You'd like to do 10 shows, right?
What?
You'd like to do 10 stand-up shows.
What?
In general, in your life. So what, and maybe this is the wrong way, but if I want to spend time with, let's say you want to do 10 shows, but you want to spend a lot of time with her.
You know we broke up. Do you know we broke up?
New York? No, I didn't know that.
Are you being real?
So in New York.
Okay, let's move on.
Yes. That doesn't mean he doesn't want to spend time with you.
Right.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
We still get our nails done.
We still get our nails done.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And so, that's awkward. I didn't know that you were I'm not going to pretend like that's not weird.
DJ's choice.
Yeah.
He's trying to get it back together.
Yeah.
So let's say you wanted to stay away from her because you're no longer sexually attracted to her. Right? But you wanted to spend time with other women that kind of understand you more.
Yeah. Right?
And let's say you kind of want to just move forward with your life, you know?
Yeah.
So those 10 sets I can do in 2 days. Mm. Whereas in Los Angeles, it would take you a week or more, maybe.
But I want to defend the LA comedy scene, because you haven't been here in a while.
Okay.
It really
is. Supernova is amazing.
Okay, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But there's those off nights too. But the clubs are amazing. I mean, I did the Store and the Improv all week last week, right? Every show sold out, and the audience are just in it. And it's like the lineups are great, and it's so fun.
Yeah, I mean, again, I love the Laugh Factory. I think that's such an, and I really like the Improv, and I've done, you know, the Belly Room is fun at the Comedy Store. But like, I don't know. I like New York better than Los Angeles.
I'm not trying to convince you.
No, I understand, but I'm saying there's just more of that. There's that, but more of it in New York City, and you get to live in New York. But I love doing shows here. I really, really like doing stand-up here.
I think I'm saying it because I miss you. I miss seeing you around.
I miss you, too.
Yeah.
We were there that night that I kind of went off on Dane Cook.
That was a glorious night.
What?
That was a glorious night. We've talked about it last time.
Oh, that one.
It was when I never, I didn't realize that people were listening to my Twitter.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, I'll just go off on him. No big deal. Nobody's like paying
attention. Anyone that didn't listen to the last TJ, we'll just recap, right? It was years ago. It was like a Wednesday or whatever. TJ Miller and I had a spot at the Laugh Factory, and Dane showed up, Cook. And he did way too long.
Well, you left.
And that's right. So I looked at you and I go, I'm not staying for this. I'm leaving.
And I thought,
and you stayed.
He's got to go after it. Yeah. And then he did so much time and he started berating the audience. But I think that was the first time he'd been up for a long time and he was pretty upset. And now that I'm an older stand-up comic, I don't really understand it. I never mean to the audience. I think it's weird to look at a guy and be like, well, you don't get any girls because you're bald. You're just an old bald guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, that guy is just like, what happened? What happened to my night?
Why am I here?
The most famous person I've ever seen just told me I'm a horny oldie bald
guy. Yeah.
Callbacks it.
Have you seen Dane since then?
I saw him at one point, because Jamie Masada was like, you know, buddy, you have to get together. You know, we are all children. They're your siblings. You got to work it out. And he was really interesting and cool. He kind of said, you want to talk? And we went in that alleyway.
Oh, cool.
And it was really clear that he's like, I have so much hate and so much shit coming at me all the time.
Yeah.
And when you're really famous, you'll understand that. But like, just don't do that to people. You know what I mean?
All right.
And I kind of was like, yeah. And it was my bad. I mean, I didn't need to do that. And I could have just left.
Yeah.
But it really, really made me upset that he was mean to that guy.
Yeah, I remember.
So, anyway, I'm kind of an idiot.
No, you're not.
I guess.
No. Let me defend you for a second, okay? We, as comedians, we eat a lot of shit, right? And I know there's hierarchy, right? But there are some things that go too far. I think that's one of them. When somebody goes way too long and ruins the audience for the people that are after
them, that's 100%.
It's just not a cool thing, man.
And that was the other thing, is because you left, I was like, I have to follow this. And so that made me really upset too. And I've never seen anybody drop in and do like an hour, except for Chris Rock.
I
had to follow him, but the audience was amazing.
Yeah.
After he got off.
And what I learned, though, ever since then, is I say no now. Like, I'm at club still.
Yeah.
And I have people go, hey, so-and-so's going to go up before you. And now I just go, no. No, I know who I am. I'm a name, right? I know that I play this club all the time, and this guy that's going to bump in is from out of town, or he's more famous, or whatever. But no, that's not going to happen. And then sometimes they go, "Well, it's going to happen." And I just leave.
Yeah,
yeah. But I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going to eat it anymore. I'm too old for that. I've been around too long. You know, I respect myself. I think I'm a credible guy. And don't push me around.
No, you're not a credible guy. You're an incredible guy.
Aww.
Oh man, you're good with play on words, huh?
I'm good with loving sympathy and love and friendship.
I like it.
I'm good with friendship, Bobby.
Yeah. I'm good.
Get used to it. the other thing, though, there is an argument for, if you're doing too many sets, you're like not thinking about what you're doing.
Or that's what I was saying.
Take away time from regular life, which is what you draw from to. But yeah, I've always been a guy who's just like an extremist. I think that has something to do with my brain damage for sure. But it's like,
wait, you had brain damage when you were dropped in the head?
No, I had an arteriovenous malformation.
Right. Oh yeah, yeah, I remember. Yeah,
and so AVMs, I now see AVM.
AVMs.
Oh, AVM.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
Did you get it fixed before, like, any risk of, like, a rupture or anything? Like
no, it hemorrhaged. And so I had to... is this part of your world? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I just know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So it's usually found in autopsy,
right,
as you know. And so when I was filming Yogi Bear 3D...
One of my favorite Yogi Bears.
Thank you so much. I didn't like Yogi Bear 2D.
It just
felt flat.
Yeah. Okay. 3D was my favorite one. George. It was so visceral.
It just felt flat.
It was visceral.
It was visceral.
Yeah, I loved it.
And so... I was out there and I was talking to cartoon bears in the middle of a forest in New Zealand, and it ruptured. I started to go crazy, Bobby.
They're just little balls that you talk to.
Correct.
Okay, let's move on.
So
I just want people to listen to go, oh, there are cartoon bears just running around New Zealand. Then they'll fly out there, and then there's nothing.
Well, you've got that kind of audience, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And but what it is they use a, you know what I mean, sometimes a tennis ball or some sort of green screen.
It's usually a ping pong ball, and then they hold it on a stick so and you have to talk to the ping pong ball.
Yeah.
And so that was crazy. So I was already doing a crazy thing. And then my brain started bleeding, and so my right frontal lobe was sort of overactive, and I got totally obsessed with entanglement puzzles, and I believed that I had just ascended to another level of intelligence, and that's just what happens to people who are really smart. They just eventually become smarter than at a different level. And just all this stuff, I couldn't go to sleep. I was, like, drinking all the time with Anna Faris because it was just a... It was just, I was going insane. So I came back.
Love her, by the way.
What's that?
Love her.
Yeah. She,
Anna Faris.
She's
love
the
her.
greatest. And so I came back and, it was like, it was weird working with Anna Faris because she's the only celebrity crush that I've ever had, ever. Because she's so funny and so beautiful. Like, she's so cute.
So cute and funny.
She's the great, and such a nice girl and really, really smart. And so I hope she's listening. I miss you.
I worked with her one time too, and I had a small part.
What was it? What was that on?
The Dictator.
Okay. Oh yeah.
Yeah, and there was a couple of days I didn't have a lot of scenes, lines.
Yeah.
Maybe one line here and there, and it was one of those things where I had to sit around the whole time, like being kind of a background or whatever. Yeah. And she would always check to see how I was.
Wait, but you did her podcast too, right?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's move on from her.
Yeah.
Enough of you, Anna.
Yeah. And so I came back and I was doing a lot of nitrous oxide. I always did like things that would depress me. So alcohol, I've never done cocaine. I did it on accident once. But I just don't look for cocaine or speed or I don't really like coffee, although I'll drink it. But I have a thing. So I have a neuropsychologist. It ruptured. I had two seizures. I went. They took it out. And after they took it out, I was like, so how long do I have to be here to kind of relearn stuff? And they're like, no, you're fine. You can go. Like, you can stay overnight.
But you weren't.
And I was like, what? And so what happened was I was not fine. And I was sort of having mania in general. But I was kind of, I was able to control it to a certain extent. And it got me to do a lot of work. I got a lot done. And one year I was doing I was hosting the Critics' Choice Awards and doing Silicon Valley and also recording Deadpool and other, and then voiceover and podcasts, all this stuff. But then at times it would sort of spin out and I would have a manic episode. It happened once when I was on Silicon Valley and that one was a psychotic split.
Oh my God, what a nightmare.
And one thing about a psychotic split that is so bizarre is it's really hack. It's like so hack. Everything that they make fun of or they say in the movies and stuff, it all happens to you. You think that the TV is talking to you and only you. You think the government is trying. I thought that there were birds that were actually drones. I thought the Chinese government was... Just kidding.
It was him.
I thought the Chinese government was watching me. I still remember reloading a webpage and it just said, China, come to China, be a tourist in China.
Yeah.
It was so insane. And so I smashed the computer, all that stuff. I had the incident on the train, the misunderstanding with the federal government. That was a manic episode.
Listen.
Wait, but I have a real question about that. That was a legitimate, traumatic brain injury that you sustained.
Yeah.
But why did they just let you out and say, okay, fine, back to work you go, back home you go, without any follow-up of, hey, this A, B, C, D.
So here's the deal. Exactly. So here's the deal is... I had that manic episode on the train and just believed that a woman was being dangerous. I had sort of in my mind at that point that women who I didn't really know or that could be really dangerous. And so I sort of called it out. It's funny. In my stand-up right now, I'm doing a joke about that it's like in New York, they say, if you see something, say something. So I'm here to tell you, if you see something and you say something and it's nothing... Oh, it'll be something. Something.
Yeah.
For a few years, for 3 years.
Yeah.
And then he goes,
Callback City, callback city.
Yeah.
And so even saying callback city is now a callback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's insane. So I, after that, and the government was like, okay, he's not like prank calling us. He's got the, I started seeing a neuropsychologist, and a neuropsychologist didn't exist. That wasn't a thing when I had my surgery. So what I needed had not yet been invented. How bizarre is that? And most people who have what I have die. Whoa. There's just, it doesn't really happen. And very few people sustain the injury in the area that I've sustained it. And even less, i.e. zero, people who've had that injury are incredibly successful. So I am a sort of a case study for neurologists and neuropsychologists and all this stuff, because they're like, how did he have this brain injury, but he has this fully functioning personality that he also excels in these particular places, specifically in the arts. Because your frontal lobe is where you, a lot of the creativity and all that stuff is, but I, they took out a golf ball size of my brain that I was never using. Jesus. So that's the mania, is because I have less brain matter than you guys. Well, not George. But, but you know, because I have less, my brain has to work harder. And so that's why I would have a seizure or something like that. Because, like, so I'm on a lot of medication, anti-seizure medication, lithium, stuff that's supposed to be a mood stabilizer, which I hate, all those things. But they work.
Yeah.
And if I don't take the Vimpat, which is like a son of Keppra, is what they call it.
Keppra.
Yeah.
Seizures.
And it was so funny. After I switched from Keppra to Vimpat, and my neurologist, who's one of the best in the world, Dr. Stokel at Cedars-Sinai, he said, so he goes, all right, we're going to transition into Vimpat. And so I did that. And it's okay. And Kay goes, she goes, so did Keppra have any like side effects or anything like that? And he goes, oh, yeah. And we're like, what? And he's like, oh, yeah, just erratic behavior, mood instability.
But isn't it also really damaging stuff to the liver?
It can be, yeah. And so the Vimpat is kind of, my liver's okay though, because what I do to balance it out is I drink a lot of alcohol. And so that's really, you know, it's really.
Yeah. I got it. I like it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And so,
good joke.
I like you.
Yeah, I like
and,
you.
And so the neuropsychologist kind of was able to, you know, help me. It's called remediation. And it's really weird, but it's basically trying to teach me how to do things that all of you do with just like normally, you know? And so when I got off the Keppra, the Vimpat is a lot different. It still has sort of side effects, but for the most part, now I'm kind of chill with the dangerous aspects of it. But it's like, I don't feel tired. So all of you get tired and you kind of are like, ooh, I should lay down and get, I don't. And so what I have to do is, I haven't gotten a lot of sleep throughout the day or something, I have to look in the mirror and I have to see if I have like signs, like physical signs of fatigue. Yeah. So stuff like that. And it's like I'm unable, or I was unable to like really, really connect the idea of checking my schedule for what I had to do the next day.
Wow.
And so it's just like weird stuff like that. And then it was so funny, I was reading about it on APM, and they, and I was talking to my neuropsychologist, Dr. Vias, at Weill Cornell, and I like to shout out my mental health team, and just give them a shout on Twitter. Who did? And who does did? And so so it's like, I forget where I was reading it, but it was basically a lot of the like deficiencies that come from my particular manifest themselves in a way that they look like personality traits. Mm-hmm. So I was looking back at that and I was like, a lot of people just thought I was kind of a dick. Yeah. Because of certain things that I just couldn't connect with. And the weird thing too is, it might be because of this or not, but I'm not very self-conscious, you know, because I don't sort of have that part of it. So it manifests itself in kind of a weird, strange confidence that Hollywood is addicted to, but also threatened by, I think. So it's been a very, very strange trip.
You know,
but the neuropsychologist now has really, really helped me.
But I wonder if, while there were obvious, you know, liabilities and a cost to, you know, like your mental health, all of these things, like, there had to been, like, it seems like it lit up in a different way, your brain. It's like there was almost like a an asset to that AVM. Like,
I mean, I wouldn't be the way I am. And it's not like I got injured halfway through my life. It's just that part of my brain never worked.
Yeah.
But it's little things, you know, it's, you know.
Well, you know.
Like, one of the things is that, like, constantly I'll do things and not really think about them.
Yeah.
I just,
so, like, one of them is, like, I'll interrupt people.
You could. Hey, what's up?
What's up?
It's good. Listen, I'm so glad
that
you shared.
I've learned through cognitive remediation.
It's good
to share the focus.
So,
with you.
So thank you. It's so thank you,
Bobby. I missed you, buddy.
Yeah.
It's so great to be here. That is wait, about not.
Don't
get time with this one.
Let's not do that. Let's not do that right now. I want to say something. Thank you for sharing all that because, you know, it makes certain things clear. You know, because when that whole train thing happened, you know, I would say to people like that doesn't sound like him. There's something going on and whatnot. And there was a second incident where, and I don't know if you remember this. Do you remember running into or seeing me and Theo Von at a bar? So it was right around that train incident. Yeah, me and Theo, we were shooting something for him upstairs at this bar. We look, and you were sitting there at the bar with somebody else. You looked at both of us, and you did not acknowledge us. It was so weird.
You might have mentioned this in the past.
Yeah, and we walked upstairs, and I go, there's something going on. I don't know what it is. And I just, you know, there were just the things that you said just now really clarified a lot of things for me. And the last time you were on the show, you know, the first time, I don't think I brought those things up because I was just like, you know, that's, you know, I don't want to talk about anything that he is uncomfortable about.
And I think that's really responsible. And it's not a problem, but the thing about me is I just never identified myself as like a brain damaged guy. It's just my brain has always worked the way it has, and I don't think of myself as so I just never would really bring it up.
Yeah.
And it was weird because and actually on Joe Rogan, the sort of white guy mafia, the New York white guy mafia, like Mark Norman, Shane Gillis, and all right. And they were talking, and they had said, I forget which one of them said it, but somebody said, because they were talking about me, and they were talking about the brain thing, and they said, and it's true, that like Hollywood and everybody will tolerate mental health issues or that stuff when they're getting something good out of it, getting good art, mm-hmm. and then the second they don't want to anymore, they just like...
Scarred you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's really, really, it's really strange, but I just never was able to like connect, like, wait a second, maybe I'm the way I am because of this thing. And maybe there are some deficiencies that I could work on to be better at it. And so it's weird. But if it was around that time, I was really full on like spinning out.
No, that's what I gathered. I never brought it up. I never really told anybody. I mean, it was just a thing that I went, there's something going on. Because the first time you came on, you know, I mean, it had been a while since that. You were the TJ that I known and grew up with and loved, right?
And care about.
Yeah, and I cared about, yeah.
I want to spend time with.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Your Yakuza brother.
Yeah, my Yakuza brother, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, but now that you explained all that stuff, it's just so... It just cleared it up for me, and it's like, thank you for sharing that.
No, of course. And it is weird, you know, I'm trying to kind of at least talk about it lately because it is a big part of everything that's going on, but also I think it helps people understand me. Also just like fans and just people in America and in general.
Yeah.
And in Norway and really all of Scandinavia. Really?
Yeah.
We got some rapid fire questions for TJ.
Do you want to pull up Dear Jonah really quickly?
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's pull YouTube. It up.
And let me tell you, so this is amazing, and you'll love this. So I set out to do a. It's my fucking phone talking. So I set out to do a special called the Pandemic Special, and do that again. So I set out to do something called the Pandemic Special. And this stuff, I love this. So this, pause right here. Okay, so I set out to do the pandemic special, which is all my pandemic material, because I was like, I can't use it anymore. I want to get it almost as a time capsule.
Mm.
And you know, as you guys know, I'm really an improviser. It's like my strength. And so I was like, I need stand-up to show people that I'm a stand-up comic, you know? That's just really, really important. And so... What ended up happening is I started doing this show, and the first show was awful. I did this at Zany's in Nashville, and mostly because I came up with this great idea for a backdrop, but also because those were the places I was playing during the pandemic. That was the whole idea, is these kind of clubs in like Tennessee. And so I went into the second show on Friday, which is always really difficult for the most
part. Always the notoriously worst show.
Notoriously the worst show. And the audience was amazing. And I was like, oh my God, this is so incredible. This is going to be the special audience. And this guy started heckling me in the front row. And I was like, TJ, don't pay attention to him. Just stay the course. He's probably going to be quiet. And he wouldn't stop heckling me. And he was doing weird heckles, like not mean, but just like, that's good. I agree with that. Or like, yeah, that's true. That's funny because it's true. So then finally I'm like, this fucking drunk is going to ruin my goddamn. So then I go and I say something to him about his cargo pants. Okay.
Okay.
And he is not drunk, and he is not a heckler. Mm-hmm. He's this guy, Jonah.
Ah.
Like all the time.
So. And so he's talking about why he likes. Why he likes cargo pants.
Kalila.
Okay, I got you.
I want you guys to know that I am not going to make fun of him at all. Pause. Isn't that a great backdrop?
Right.
It's all different fake in the Zanies Comedy Club because the top one Zanies is the real thing.
Yeah.
So those are all fake comedy clubs.
funny. Crickets is a great fucker. Yeah.
Tummy Tickler. I like my buddy's Nick Vatterott is hilarious. Like pun comfortable silences.
Yeah.
So that was Jonah. And so then I kind of said, look, I'm not going to make fun of this guy.
Yeah.
It's great. And then throughout the show, he like interrupted me again. So I incorporated him. And then eventually the show was kind of about him. People wanted to hear what he had to say. I was sort of involving. He has the funniest line in the entire special. The
right,
closer
right.
is something with him that we do together.
Yeah.
And it's like perfect. Because that's exactly, it did everything that I needed to do.
Wow.
It shows people how good I am as an improviser. And then if you come see a show, you have no idea where it's going to go. It shows that I am a comic and I have strong material. And also shows that I'm like a good guy.
Yeah.
Because I never made fun of this guy. And there's never a moment where it seems like I'm going to. And I kind of, the whole show spent it slowly kind of lifting him up. And making him the star of the show.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's really sweet. I mean, honestly, people tell me that at the end of the special, they're like crying.
Oh.
Because they're like, how is this guy? And you can tell because he's a huge fan of Deadpool and a huge fan of me. And I said, did you know that I did stand up? He goes, oh, yeah. He said, I saw you before and I was in the back. And he's like, so I said, I got to go and see you again and be in the front. And that's why he sat he was in front. He was touching the stage. His table was touching the stage because he figured if it was good in the back, it was going to be so much better in the front, right? Because it gets better as you get closer to the performer, which is kind of fucking true.
It is true, yeah.
And so it's like the best.
Is he normal? Is there something going on with him? Or
of course, yeah.
Okay, I don't want to know. I don't want to say the word, but
well, you know what I mean? What's funny is
he that?
He's developmentally retarded. And I told you know what's hilarious?
You doubled down on what
no.
I was gonna say. I couldn't even say.
No, so I said
that's
that.
That's next level.
Because it's medical. It's medical, that thing. And I said that, and there was like this woke.
What'd you call diabolical retarded? What is it?
No, diabolical. Jesus, Bobby. Gosh.
What did he say?
You know what?
What'd you say?
So listen, so I was talking about this with my, because this woke girl, this comic, because she's really funny, but she was like, she kept being like, special needs. And absolutely.
It's
Yeah. But then I was talking to my neuropsychologist about it, and I said, he's developmentally retarded. That is the name for it, right?
Oh, developmental. I said diabolic.
She goes, yeah, that would have been insane. That would have been so insane.
It was crazy.
And he's just diabolical. he's diabolically. So I said that to my neuropsychologist, and she goes, it's a medical term, but we prefer to say intellectually deficient.
Okay.
And I was like, what? That's even worse.
That's worse, yeah.
It's painful.
It's kind of like, no, yeah. You don't have it. It's never going to happen. Instead of calling someone slow, you're like, no, he stopped.
Yeah.
It's he's
worse.
Not slow. He stopped.
He stopped it. Yeah.
I think it is worse, but there's no way. So whatever it is, special needs is kind of strange.
What's the term she used? Intellectually
deficient. Isn't that weird?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's pretty harsh.
It's harsh.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I was like, retardation is just okay. Like, I mean,
I love it.
I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble for this.
It's
probably.
Fine. No, you're not. Because you were so nice to him.
Well,
and you named a special after the guy.
Yeah. And it's sort of a love letter to him.
Oh, you know, you're a good guy.
Is
man.
What it ended up being. And so he's and his high school teacher reached out to me.
Wow.
And because she was like the counselor for the special needs kids. Mm-hmm. And she said, I watched that and it was so amazing. And it just made my heart soar and it brought a tear to my eye. And she said, it just I know that it means the world to him. And so that was really, really cool. And I can't wait to go back to Tennessee. I'm hoping that he comes to see a show.
No, you should go have lunch with him or something.
Yeah, because I'd want to hear what he thinks of the special. Because I'm sure he loved it. But at the time, you can see he's like, mm-hmm. he can feel... Everybody in this room is sold out. It's 200 or 300, whatever it is. It's hundreds and hundreds of people that are like loving him, like just being like, we love this guy. You're great. You're hilarious. You're doing it. And you can just feel him taking that in because that doesn't happen to him a lot. A lot of the time people are making fun of him or they want him to get out of the way in the grocery store or they think that he's parking incorrectly or whatever it is. Nobody's patient with him.
Get out of the way! No one's ever done... Really?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just... He's seen less as the star of anything.
You're right. You know what?
And more as the liability of everything.
You're right. You're right.
So that's just absolutely awful. That's kind of his lot in life. And so I tried kind of in one show to just pack all of this, like, happiness and kind of joy and feeling appreciated into, like, 1 hour for him... And I couldn't believe it, but it was perfect. I just really, I
everyone
got on stage
listening right now,
like,
everyone listening, watch this fucking special on
Dear
YouTube.
Jonah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it really is, and Sticker Giant, too. You should check that out. But it is really sort of.
Stop. Let's do the questions.
Yeah, let's do rapid fire questions.
All right, we'll do a
Thanks
couple
for doing ones. This, guys.
Fuck yeah, man.
All right, first one. This is from Inambo _. What's your proudest moment? Everyone in the room, but TJ first.
Dear Jonah.
That's your private, proudest moment?
That's my private, diabolically private moment.
Okay, that's cool.
Bobby?
Pass on me. I got to think about it.
Claude, do you have anything on top of your head? Proudest moment.
You go first, Gil.
You know what? I'll go a second time.
Second proudest moment.
No, it's the first proudest again.
Okay.
It's Dear Jonah.
All right.
I can keep going until you guys figure something out.
Right. You might have to do it a third time.
Let's go around. That's what I'm
Maybe
saying.
Maybe just not the proudest, but a proud moment. Well, I'll do it.
Rapid fire.
Doing the Tiger Belly live show.
Oh, yeah.
That was a really good one.
First show, yeah.
And you did great, didn't you? Did you kill?
She was nervous.
I was super nervous. I'd never really been in front of
a crowd
one of
the most perfect shows I've ever been a part of.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I understand what you said. That's like this.
Yeah.
And it's like when everything goes well, you feel good for yourself. You're like, I did it. And then you're also like, and the audience fucking loved it.
Yeah.
It's good for them. Good for us.
What you felt in the show was pure love from the audience because no one in that audience wasn't a Tiger Belly fan. They were Tiger Belly fans. And I felt a sense of unity, a sense of comfort. I felt like I was in a womb,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? And it felt so good and perfect.
You know, that's what those Skankfest guys, I did Skankfest last year and I'm going to do it again this year, I think. It's just these people are such diehard fans and they feel that they know you because they've listened to you for so many hundreds of hours.
Mm.
And there's something about that audience sort of comedian relationship that's just different. I think that's what you're saying with Tiger,
yeah,
exactly,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have a weird version of that that's totally different with the films that I've been in and Silicon Valley. But I'm in some of these movies that are people's favorite movies. Steven Spielberg put me in Office Christmas Party because he knows that every year people watch it and they're like, God, that guy's such a good dude. He's so funny. So I've become a part of their sort of Christmas or their culture or their whatever. And films, you don't watch a good television show a second time, really, ever. But movies, well, we've all seen our favorite movies hundreds of times. Animal Practice?
He's neck deep in West Wing.
West Wing again.
The second time? Yeah, you do say it's Sopranos. Next all right, level. What's your most proudest moment?
I think when I did The Tonight Show as a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, I read that you showed me your diary of when the day before you...
How old were you?
2 weeks before you did The Tonight Show. And then the entry right after you did the Tonight Show. And 2 weeks before that, you're like, I hate this. My life's over. I don't know what I'm doing in stand-up anymore. And then you flip the page, and it's your diary, your journal entry right after you did the Tonight Show. And you're like, I think I made it. oh my God, I can't believe it. And it was really sweet.
And you did. How old were you?
Almost 30, 29.
Why'd you say when you were a kid?
I mean,
I thought you meant like when you were eight and you went on with the animal trainer. I was like, what did he do on The Tonight Show when he was 8 years old?
I was short round stand in. For Indiana Temple.
You know what's great about that? It's funny, and also it would be really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everybody loves Short Round.
Yeah, and I got to do Goonies too, you know?
Yeah.
I stood in front of that too, you know? But anyway, yeah, that was, no, when I say kid, because I feel like, you know, I started at 23 as a kid as a comic.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Right? So it's like I'd been doing comedy about 7 years.
And it was, was it Leno?
Leno, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's so crazy.
And I was working the door at the time. I was like doing the back door at the comedy store.
Oh, the comedy store.
And I was checking IDs, and I remember Bob Ross and Ross came up to me when I was wearing my comedy store t-shirt, and they go, "We're here to talk to you about The Tonight Show." And I remember going, "What do you mean?"
Yeah, yeah.
And they're going, "No, we think you can do it. We've been watching you at these like open mics and stuff." And I go, "Really?" And I remember from then on, it was like, and I was so nervous.
Really?
Because, you know, when you're at my level at that time, they don't give you a date. You do the fallout, right? So if they have, in an emergency situation. At any moment.
So were you doing that tight six every night?
Yeah, so like, I think it took months and months where I was just waiting. So you're just living with constant anxiety almost. Like, yeah. When is the day? And then when they got the call, you know what I mean? I was like, ready, you know what I mean, but still very nervous, and I did it. And I remember feeling, I even distinctly remember what it looked like still today, of when I was on there looking at where I knew where my manager was standing and my brother. I remember who was on the couch. It was Christina Ricci and Jay Leno.
Oh, whoa!
I remember like the crowd and the cameras, and it being like you're on like something that you would see in a TV show, right? Like, yeah. You know, and I was like, oh no, this is my life.
Right, it looks like a studio audience from you're watching
right.
On TV.
Yeah, it was really strange. Like, you're sitting behind the scenes of a...
It's dissociative, yeah.
And then I just remember, like, getting called over to the couch and all the little moments, yeah. You know what I mean, in it. And I just remember, and then going home and laying in bed.
Yeah.
And just... with tears in your eyes.
I love that.
And you're going...
Isn't he a great guy?
You're going,
God, I wish somebody...
I can't believe
anyone would ever break up with him.
Anyway, give T.J. Miller a round of applause.
I made a joke just then.
I know. And we're going to close...
her.
We're going to close out on that.
I want to tell you...
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. And I know what you're trying to do.
You want
to keep going, and I can't because I have something to do at 8.
So
I can... Yeah.
So you were how old? 29?
Yeah.
And you killed it. You knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
I think that in stand-up is in some ways the zenith of making it rather than Madison Square Garden or something else. Mm. Because there's so much more pressure on you, Bobby Lee, in this one moment. This is that one shot. And that you knocked it out of the park. Yeah, that is like, that's a moment to call your proudest moment.
Yeah.
I don't even really remember. I think I did Conan first.
Yeah.
And it was kind of by that time. So I'm very jealous because the Tonight Show, that thing in stand-up comedy history, is the most important thing you can do.
Yeah, it was. And it was
instead, for me, it was Cloverfield.
All right, man.
I'm jealous of you. That's what I'm
fucking
saying.
One up me with a Hollywood movie. What the fuck, man?
Great film.
I'm being
it was
envious.
A great movie.
You're not helping me. And now I'm trying to backpedal and you're over there going,
great film.
Yeah, much better than Bobby's Tonight Show set.
Well, anyway, give him a round of applause, T.J. Miller.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, guys. Woo. Enjoy the peanut butter and enjoy the hot sauce.